Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show in the second hour. Appreciate you being here with us. We hadn't mentioned it yet. Just wanted to note that we have seen, and there's certainly a lot of people out there who are mourning right now, the passing of Colin Powell, former Secretary of State, soldier, a general, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. You all remember him from, well, several administrations. He passed away of COVID-19 complications while battling multiple myeloma cancer. And the people you'll see all across TV who knew him will be talking about his legacy and go into a period of mourning. And perhaps we'll have some discussion about that era of foreign policy and the role that Colin Powell played in it. But for right now, just thoughts and prayers to his family, and Colin Powell, rest in peace. I've seen some people trying to politicize in some way the fact that he was double vaccinated. He's 84 years old and battling cancer. So no one thinks, at no point did anyone believe that if you're 84 and vaccinated, you're 100% going to be okay, especially if you have a condition like myeloma that you're battling. So I don't think that's really going to be much of a discussion. But right now, Colin Powell's somebody that a lot of people are paying their respects to. So I wanted to say that. The media is often dishonest with you. You know that. The media lies to you about a whole lot of things. Clay and I were talking to you last week about horse dewormer and how anybody who used that phrase to talk about ivermectin as a possible experimental treatment for severe COVID or preventing severe COVID was just lying to you, right? And Dr. Sanjay Gupta of CNN said as much when he was on. He didn't say the word lie, but we all know that he had to admit that they shouldn't have been saying horse dewormer. But some of the media outlets that are the most insistent on being the arbiters of truth and the people that have platforms that you can trust, when you really break it down, you find out that they're a bunch of liars. And they lie about a whole lot of things. In fact, they aggressively adhere to certain points of propaganda that are obviously and demonstrably false. Barry Weiss, who was, just by way of review, the New York Times editorial page member who left the New York Times because her job was to get more diverse voices, meaning ideologically diverse, in the New York Times. And then every time she wanted to have somebody who didn't think that Donald Trump was literally Hitler or a stooge of Putin, she got a lot of pushback. And so she left the New York Times. Now she has a Substack. She's a person who is maybe center right, maybe I'd say center left. And here she was on
sane.
Brian.
What sane would be one way to describe it.
Yeah, just not crazy. But
not,
I mean, if
insane.
You're looking at her politics, she's, and here she is on Brian Stelter's show on CNN with a tour de force soundbite.
Dozens of examples that I could share with you and with
and
your
you
viewers.
And you say
everyone
allowed.
Everyone sort of knows this. And
you say we're not allowed, we're not able.
Between,
who's the people stopping the conversation? Who are they?
People that work at networks, frankly, like the one I'm speaking on right now, who try
we
and
We have to have her
that-
say, hold on a second, Clay. That was the response to her. We
yes.
need the clip where she says what you're not allowed to say.
You're right. There are tens of millions of Americans who aren't on the hard left or the hard right who feel the world has gone mad. So in what ways has the world gone mad?
Well, you know, when you have the chief reporter on the beat of COVID for the New York Times talking about how questioning or pursuing the question of the lab leak is racist, the world has gone mad. When you're not able to say out loud and in public that there are differences between men and women, the world has gone mad. When we're not allowed to acknowledge that rioting is rioting and it is bad, and that silence is not violence, but violence is violence, the world has gone mad. When we're not able to say that Hunter Biden's laptop is a story worth pursuing, the world has gone mad. When in the name of progress, young school children, as young as kindergarten, are being separated in public schools because of their race, and that is called progress rather than segregation, the world has gone mad.
What I'm so excited about is hearing other sane, rational people joining our party of the sane on a day-to-day basis, Buck. And I do believe that there is a massive and colossal pushback coming against what I would call the woke ideology, the revolution that has overtaken much of the media, much of our corporate sphere. And later, Barry Weiss points out that many people would not feel comfortable in a public setting saying all of that. And it's why every single morning when I wake up, I am thankful that I get to say exactly what I think. And I understand a lot of you out there, sometimes you're going to disagree with me, or you're going to disagree with Buck, or you're not going to 100% be in our camp on any particular argument. That's okay. That's healthy. What's unhealthy is what is going on for so many people. And I think it's a substantial majority of our country. What percentage of people, Buck, do you think are terrified to say what they actually think, regardless of politics, on social media on a day-to-day basis?
Oh, Facebook, I think it's
Instagram,
it's 80
Twitter.
To 90, because I even people that are woke are scared out of their minds that they're going to be not woke enough.
That's right. There's about 10% of the population that has taken over national discourse in this country. And not only have the 10% taken over national discourse in terms of what you are allowed to say or not say, but they've taken over national discourse with radical opinions which are not shared by the vast majority of people in this country. And that's why I really a lot of times don't enjoy when things become bogged down, even though sometimes I understand how necessary it is, on political identifications. I really do think about the world on a day-to-day basis in terms of sane ideas and insane ideas. And my goal is for sane ideas to win. Now, a lot of those insane ideas are connected most frequently with the far left wing of the Democratic Party. Defund the police, open borders, the fact that inflation doesn't exist is a real threat, modern monetary theory, bowing and acquiescing to China. All of those things are fundamental failures of the Democratic Party, but they're also fundamental failures of sanity. And what Barry Weiss was just laying out on CNN is what I think CNN is taking so many body blows for right now, Buck, which is the last week we were talking about the horse deworming. I think that is the most significant attack on CNN that has really landed in a long way, because it expands beyond, hey, there's this right-wing Republican audience that recognizes the lie CNN is telling. And it starts to spread into that middle part of the country, right?
And reasonable middle part of the country. And until CNN reckons with the fact and really honestly begs the forgiveness of the American people for the fact that they were among the chief propagators of the four-year Russia collusion lie. And we got Christopher Steele making a comeback apparently now, saying that he thinks the special shower tape is possibly real. I mean, this guy is so reckless and ruthless, right? Christopher Steele, the author of the Steele dossier. But until CNN, we can get to that later. Until CNN comes to grips with the fact that they were part of a massive lie to bring down a presidency, they shouldn't be taken as honest brokers really talking about anything. It's a dishonest network. And you can see this. And now we have Brian Stelter in response, Clay, to statements that people often use the term Orwellian. When you're saying things like silence equals violence, that's actually out of an Orwell book, right? Like when you're saying things that the phrase itself is demonstrably false, you've gone full 1984. And here is Stelter's response to stuff like that.
Dozens of examples that I could share with you and with
and
your
you
viewers.
And you say
everyone
aloud.
Everyone sort of knows this. And
you say we're not allowed, we're not able. Who's the people stopping the conversation? Who are they?
People that work at networks, frankly, like the one I'm speaking on right now, who try and claim that, you know, it was racist to investigate the lab leak theory. It was.
Who said that at CNN? But I'm just saying that when you say aloud, I just think it's a provocative thing to say. You say we're not allowed to talk about these things, but they're all over the internet. I can Google them.
Brian,
I can find them everywhere. I've heard about every story you mentioned.
Of course.
So I'm just suggesting, of course, people are allowed to cover whatever they want to cover.
No, I'll just say to Brian Stelter, that's not true. Yeah. CNN banned me. I can directly speak to what is allowed or not allowed to be said. CNN banned me from appearing on their television network for going on and saying that the only two, and you may hear this and be like, oh, I think it's awesome. You may hear this and think, oh, Clay Travis is such a juvenile, sophomoric loser. And some of those things could both be true. But I said the only two things that have never let me down in this country are the First Amendment and boobs, right? And if you haven't seen that clip or heard it, CNN, Brooke Baldwin, lost her mind and demanded that I apologize for what is clearly a an illustration of the First Amendment, by the way, in a vein that makes people sometimes have to take note of it. And by the way, I would say a couple of weeks later, Hugh Hefner died, and he's maybe the foremost proponent of the concept of the First Amendment and boobs, and CNN treated him as a hero, but they banned me, Buck.
Right. Well, they banned you for
years
for what they considered a decorum and perhaps a wokeness misogyny violation or something.
Correct. Right? But I mean, that is a clear example of somebody being banned, not allowed to speak.
Yeah, of course. But this is the point that when you have someone like Brian Stelter, who it is truly a fascinating mystery that this man has a television show.
Yes.
But that's another discussion. When you have someone like that, this is the game they always play. What happens when parents find out about CRT? Oh, the whole media apparatus tries to do there's no CRT. CRT is not being taught in schools. What is CRT? They play all these semantic games. And here you have a version.
And then the Department of Justice, Buck, labels them potentially domestic terrorists.
And here you have a version of the same game with someone like Brian Stelter, who's confronted the week after deworming gate, if you will. You got Stelter saying,
who's stopping you? Who's preventing you from?
We all know, okay? We all know that you say these things and you get attacked. You get people on social media calling you a racist, saying you should be fired, going after your sponsors. We all know this is the reality. But when they're cornered and they have to face the truth, what do liars like the people at CNN and the New York Times and others do? They lie more. They find a way to evade accountability, which is what he was trying to do there, and not very effectively. But we got more Virginia stuff we want to talk about, Clay.
Yeah, and also race, I would just point out too, on behalf of Stelter there, it's amazing how often people say that everything is allowed when on their own network, the people don't feel like they can say anything that contravenes the existing narrative.
When Tunnel to Towers Foundation sets their mind to helping families of 9/11 first responders and our soldiers fighting the war on terrorism, they're committed. This year alone, they're helping 200 families move into mortgage-free homes with the help of your donations. That's a remarkable effort on its own, but that's not all that Tunnel to Towers Foundation has done. They've dedicated the summer months of August and September to honor those first responders of 9/11 with a tribute that allows us to never forget their bravery and sacrifice. Tunnel to Towers Foundation continues to honor and remember with a tribute set for Veterans Day next month. On a day-to-day basis, Tunnel to Towers Foundation dedicates themselves to looking after our first responders and soldiers. Clay, this is one of the few organizations out there that keeps this pledge day in and day out.
No doubt, Buck. And you might not know the names of these firefighters, police officers, EMT crew members that answered the call on 9/11, but the team at Tunnel to Towers Foundation certainly does. They are men and women, oftentimes with families, support those families. You can donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. We are rolling through the Monday edition of the program. I was talking about the body blows that CNN took all last week at really what I would say is probably the core of how CNN sees itself, regardless of how its overall audience does in the country, that is, as the trustworthy news outlet. Right. I think that's what CNN would try and brand itself. Fox News obviously is trying to cover the news in a perspective that's different than the vast majority. MSNBC is a natural antidote, they would argue, to the way that Fox News behaves. And then CNN likes to see itself as, hey, we are journalists here. We're the company of record. But they keep spreading falsehood. And I think that goes to the essence of CNN's overall brand accountability and why they are taking such body blows. This was Christopher Steele still pushing the P-tape. Now, this is George Stephanopoulos. This is an ABC interview. But they continue to try to spread all of these Russia collusion falsehoods, all of the media does. And CNN was, I would say, a bastion of that absurdity for 4 years during Trump. Here's Christopher Steele in an interview with Stephanopoulos.
So you stand by the dossier?
I stand by the work we did, the sources that we had, and the professionalism which we applied to it.
And today, do you still believe that that tape exists?
I think it probably does, but I wouldn't put 100% certainty on it.
So how do you explain if that tape does indeed exist, it hasn't been released?
Well, it hasn't needed to be released.
Why not?
Because I think the Russians felt they'd got pretty good value out of Donald Trump when he was president of the U.S.
This is delusional. And anybody
I love
who,
the music, by the way, in the background,
yeah, of course,
too.
I mean, first of all, that Stephanopoulos treats this guy with any seriousness, with, you know, acts like he's some kind of a professional who has not been entirely repudiated by anybody who pays attention and is honest. I mean, there are a lot of people that still want to believe in the, you know, the urination tape. Remember that? I mean, the dossier that the whole thing, it was all political dirty tricks. It was such garbage. And they're still feeding this stuff to their audience because they have to believe. Because Clay, what you don't want if you're ABC News or if you're CNN or any of these places is your audience to have to grapple with the fact that they're not as smart and sophisticated as they think they are. And they fell like a bunch of rubes, like a bunch of dupes. They fell for the Russia collusion lie and then became obsessed with it for years. And it was all crap. It was all make-believe.
And that also ties in with why it's so insane now to argue that January 6th is in somehow the bigger threat to our country than 4 years of lies that were propagated by CNN and MSNBC. And by the way, Buck, for people out there who have not heard this, I was talking about the fact that I am banned from CNN. This is 4 years old, but the staff chased it down. Were you working at CNN at the time?
I think so.
I believe this was 2017. This is why I am banned by CNN.
Oh, no. I was gone by then, but go ahead.
You were gone already. I think it was 2017. This is why I am banned by CNN. If you haven't heard this clip, it went viral. By the way, Buck, this has gone viral again on TikTok, like kids and Instagram and everywhere else for kids who didn't see it when it initially happened. I was on talking about the importance of the First Amendment and why freedom of speech mattered in media circles. Here's what it sounded like.
I'm a First Amendment absolutist. I believe in only two things completely, the First Amendment and boobs. And so once they made the decision that they were
Hold on. I just want to make sure I heard you correctly as a woman anchoring the show. What did you just say? You believe in the First Amendment and BWBS?
Boobs. Two things that have only never let me down in this entire country's history, the First Amendment and boobs. So those are the only two things I believe in absolutely in the country.
I just want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly. B-O-O-Z-E or B-O-O-B-S? Because as a woman, I'm
as in boobs. I believe completely in the First Amendment and in boobs. Those are the only two things I believe 100% in this country. And by the way, Jamel has absolutely nothing to do with the background.
Why are you sitting here live on CNN? Why would you even say that live on national television?
So she cut me off at that point in time, and that is the story. In the meantime, I got to tell you the story. It's sign up for Pure Talk today. You get unlimited talk, text, 6 gigs of data on Pure Talk's 5G network for just $30 a month. All you have to do what my family did. 30-day guarantee, nothing to lose. Check it out for free. Dial #250 and say Pure Talk right now, and you'll save 50% off your first month. That's #250, say Pure Talk. Get your phones in your hand. They've been in my house. I trust them with my family. #250, say Pure Talk. Sign up today.
Welcome back to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We have headlines that are warning of rough economic seas ahead. This on CNBC from earlier this morning. Supply chain chaos is already hitting global growth. It's about to get a lot worse. There are others who are starting to sound the alarm because you're being told things like, oh, don't worry, everything is going really well. Biden's doing an amazing job. The Build Back Better program will cost zero. The economy's really strong. Everything is going great. And people see this, they say, well, that's just not the reality that I'm aware of. That doesn't seem to be what's actually happening. So how can they be saying this? Well, here's an example of it. You have the supply chain crisis, which is one of the problems, I think, with this is it doesn't sound scary. Supply chain. It's going to mean that there are shortages of products that you want to buy. We don't know how extensive it'll be. It means there'll probably be a serious drag on economic growth. It could mean we are heading into a period of diminished GDP versus expectations, and perhaps even rising unemployment, rising inflation, a recession even. This could all be tied in together. I mean, if you think that's too far, here you go. The Daily Mail has a piece up today. America is, this is the quote, already in a recession that could be as bad as 2008, according to Dartmouth College professor David Blanchflower. He warns the real state of the economy has been skewed by Biden's huge unemployment payments. So essentially, we're papering over all these challenges and these problems with funny money, with printed or digitized money. And they want to do even more of it, as you know, the Democrats do. Meanwhile, here's what Pete Buttigieg has to say about this.
Well, certainly a lot of the challenges that we've been experiencing this year will continue into next year, but there are both short-term and long-term steps that we can take to do something about it. Look, part of what's happening isn't just the supply side, it's the demand side. Demand is off the charts. Retail sales are through the roof. And if you think about those images of ships, for example, waiting at anchor on the West Coast, you know, every one of those ships is full of record amounts of goods that Americans are buying because demand is up, because income is up, because the president has successfully guided this economy out of the teeth of a terrifying recession.
I mean, is he serious, Clay? This is really what he's trying to sell to the American people?
I think this is the problem with having people in positions of power that should have never been in positions of power, particularly in the realm of economics, is I think we are dealing with an incredibly challenging marketplace right now. We've got 5% inflation. We don't know exactly where the inflation is going to go next, but it's the highest rate of inflation since I think all the way back in 1991, maybe during the Gulf War, we had a little bit of an inflationary spike. But really, this is akin to what was going on in the 1970s with Jimmy Carter. And then, as in now, you have a president who doesn't really understand, I don't think, basic business. And the problem is, and I give credit to Joe Manchin for actually voicing this, the senator from West Virginia who has fought back at least against some of the $3.5 trillion issues. We are talking about pouring money into a market that is already soaring in inflation. And it's just basic economics, Buck, to sit back and say, wait a minute, you want the government to effectively be adding fuel to the fire as it pertains to inflationary pressures by pouring more and more money. And I think what's happening out there for the general public is people are saying, wait a minute, I might be making a little bit more money at my job, but the actual money that I have in my pocket at the end of every month is less, because what's happened is, yes, wage growth has gone up, but inflation has increased at a higher rate. And what is important is not wage growth. It's wage growth in relation to inflation. And right now, if you look at the prices of gas, if you look at the prices of meat, eggs, I talked about this last week. I went and bought tennis shoes for my kids. You can't buy anything at an affordable rate. Inflation is skyrocketing. It's not getting better.
And it's not going to change with this crew in charge, because if anything, they deny what the numbers, what your experience right now, listening to this all across the country, your experience of how much it costs to, you know, go to a local restaurant and get a bite with your family, how much it costs to go and buy groceries, what it costs to fill up your car with gas. Your experience of all that, this Biden administration wants you to know two things. One, if you think it's bad, oh, you just need to, you know, read more about how great it is or something, or listen to them. And also, if only the billionaires would pay more in taxes, somehow this wouldn't be a problem. I mean, this is all fantasy land stuff. But they also try to find ways to distract you, including here on Chuck Todd's Meet the Press, which I think is a show that really only people in D.C. who work in the media watch. But Chuck Todd says to Buttigieg, or asked Buttigieg, about the controversy of the Secretary of Transportation taking a two-month-long de facto vacation for paternity leave while the country is in the midst of one of the few times in recent memory a crisis that the Department of Transportation could very much be helpful in alleviating. And here he is.
You've been under some bizarre attack for taking paid leave by some loudmouths in our political system. You took it. The federal government offers it to federal government employees. What does it say if the president can't get paid family leave into his agenda?
It's on the president's agenda. It's in the Build Back Better plan, and I'm proud to work for an administration
that walks
the walk on family values. And one more thing that I think is maybe underappreciated. When somebody welcomes a new child into their family and goes on leave to take care of that child, that's not a vacation. It's work. It's joyful, wonderful, fulfilling work. But it is work, and it's time that our nation join pretty much every other country in the world and recognize that.
I mean, come on, dude. Come on.
I understand the idea of if you want to get time off and not lose your job, that you should be able to take that time off when you have a kid and be able to go back to your job. But the idea that every single American taxpayer should be subsidizing months of paternity or maternity leave for every person in America, particularly paternity leave, to me is crazy. And I say that as a dad. To me, what Mayor Pete has done here is actually made this process far less likely to get passed, because I think a huge majority of Americans out there would say, hey, if you have the resources to take off for paternity leave for multiple months unpaid, that's fine. But the idea that taxpayers should be paying dads for months of not working flies in the face, I think, of what the vast majority of Americans believe. And so he is actually probably as bad of an advocate for this policy as could exist anywhere. Paid paternity leave is, to me, a non-starter. I don't think for anybody out there, if you want to take months off of your job, more power to you. If that you need to be able to get your job back, okay, maybe. I don't even necessarily know that the federal government needs to be involved in that, because if you walk away from your job for months as a dad, somebody's got to fill that work. Somebody's got to fill that void. But the idea that you would get paid for it is crazy. I think this thing's going to end up out of the bill buck, partly because of Mayor Pete's example here.
I think even, on an even bigger scale, broader scale, Clay, these are the people that want you to believe, this Biden administration, these cabinet officials, Joe Biden himself, that they know what they're doing, that they've got good ideas about how to make things better for the American economy. I'm sorry. It's getting tougher and tougher for them to sell that. Susan in North Carolina wrote in to say that she's very happy that her dog actually eats rough greens willingly. She tried many vitamin and probiotic supplements, and she had the dog turning her nose away, unfortunately, and refusing. But she was impressed by the ingredient list, and the dog loves rough greens. Rough greens is what we're talking about here. It's not a dog food. It's a healthy supplement that you put into your dog's food with all the live nutrients necessary for superior dog health. Rough greens will make your dog's food better. R-U-F-F, okay, that's how you spell it, rough greens. It's got vitamins, probiotics, enzymes, omega oils, antioxidants, stuff that you know you need as a human, but guess what? Your dog needs it too, and it doesn't exist in your standard dog food that you get off the shelf at the store. You need to add in rough greens to your dog's food to be a happier, healthier canine, better companion for you and the whole family. Go to roughgreens.com/buck right now. They're going to give you the first bag free. That's R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/buck. They'll give you the first bag free. That's right, free. Roughgreens.com, R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/buck. Because if we wouldn't take it home to our dogs, we wouldn't send it home to yours.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Encourage you to go sign up for the podcast. September was the best month of all time for the podcast. We want to make October the new best. You can search out my name, Clay Travis. You can search out Buck Sexton. You'll make sure that you don't miss a single moment of the show. Open up phone lines here, 1-800-282-2882. This was funny. I saw this yesterday. A Washington Post editor, Her name is Ruth Marcus. She is the Washington Post deputy editorial page editor and a columnist. And she tweeted out yesterday morning, in Madison, Wisconsin, by now I should know better, but I get in elevator. It stops on lower floor. Man steps in unmasked. Sign in elevator says mask required. Me getting out. You know, it would be really nice if you wore a mask. Man, I don't care what you think. And then she says, America 2021. Now, she has tweeted this, Buck, as if she is the hero, the heroic protagonist of this interaction. I actually sided once more, a lot more. I've read this, and I kind of laughed when the man said, I don't care what you think, and then she says, America 2021. The guy's really funny response, I think, which wasn't even that mean.
I would say this to people that have this reaction, because I come across this fairly regularly still in New York City, where you get the people that look at you like you smell really bad or something when you go to get on the elevator with them and you don't have a mask on, even though in some places, I don't even know, there's not a New York City mask mandate, but the CDC says masking indoors makes sense. For, I mean, it's, you can't even keep track of this craziness anymore. But I just say this, why, if we're so serious about this, why doesn't Ruth Marcus just say that she agrees to not go to restaurants anymore? I mean, why? You don't have to go to restaurants. Now, in New York City, they did a study, and it was that less than 1% of COVID cases actually were restaurant transmission in the first place. But you'll notice that they still have all the staff masked up here. They still have people that work in the restaurants masked up, so they ignore the data. If it's really about, if it stops just one case, we have to do it, then why don't these, whether it's, I mean, I'm talking about New York, in D.C., Ruth Marcus should say, I don't need to go out to eat. I'm going to bar myself from all restaurants until COVID is over. Isn't that a small price to pay, Clay? What you'll notice is that they're very insistent on rules for other people under the guise of we're saving lives. But they themselves have certain areas where they're willing to make trade-offs and make concessions.
Not only that, it is, as we have laid out, basically the case that there is zero protection provided by masks. So you are lecturing someone for not following a nonsensical rule. And when I read that interaction, I was curious. I was thinking to myself, I bet there are a lot of our listeners that have had funny, entertaining, ridiculous interactions with others over mask requirements. And so I thought maybe we could take some of those calls in the third hour of the show. If you've got a story akin to that one that you think is fun to share, 1-800-282-2882, you can call us and share that. Also, Buck, when we come back, we will play for you. We talked about Joe Biden being out in a Georgetown restaurant violating Washington, D.C.'s mask mandate. Jen Psaki, Little Red Lying Hood herself, has now weighed in on what she thought of the viral photo and video of Joe Biden and Joe Biden not having masks on. And I want to get into a discussion. I think this is an intriguing question. Well, you talked about earlier in the show, Buck, that OSHA has still not released its mandate rules for COVID vaccines for people who employ 100 or more people. That now, I believe Biden announced, I think he announced that rule on the first week of September. One of our staff members can look up the exact date, but I'm pretty sure it was the first weekend in September when Biden said, hey, I'm using all my federal authority to implement this COVID vaccine mandate. Why are the OSHA rules still not out as we approach the end of October? I've got a theory that they are trying to scare people into getting vaccinated. And then at the last minute, because they likely recognize they don't necessarily have the federal authority to make these mandates, they're going to suddenly pull back and say, oh, you know what? Enough people got vaccinated. The rates are going down now. We're not going to insist on the federal government doing this. We still think employers should do this. But so many of you have been behaving so well. It's like when you reward a kid for eating his food and you give him a dessert. I think they may recognize they don't have the authority to do this and walk it back sometime if the numbers don't increase in big numbers.
I mean, so they'd be using the threat of the federal mandate as essentially a means to get private companies to coerce
without
people.
Without actually requiring.
And there's, I mean, all along, it's why 100? I mean, that just feels so arbitrary, too. I mean, you can certainly have COVID spreading among 50 employees in the workplace. Most COVID is actually spread in the home, by the way. That's the place where you're at the greatest risk of it, and that's been true all along. So you get one person maybe who gets it somewhere, and then it can spread to an entire family. Or
which is why, by the way, when they said everybody go home and don't leave your homes, it was probably the worst thing we could have done in terms of limiting COVID.
Clay, we were told stay at home, don't do anything other than congregate in very close quarters in a few grocery stores for weeks on end, and make sure that you're Lysoling your hands and your groceries every 5 minutes. There are shortages in Lysol. There's been so much that they've told us that's wrong at different stages of this, but we're never supposed to remember that. We're just supposed to listen to them and do exactly what they say. So I'm wondering, how the OSHA mandate or whatever it is from the federal government is really going to be rolled out, because are they also going to be more? Are they going to leave some off-ramps, if you will? We talked about the possibility of conscience exemptions or religious exemptions, and how will the federal government really be policing that? Are they going to, at a time of some real economic uncertainty, to put it mildly, throw huge fines out at businesses that don't comply? I mean, there's a lot of the implementation that'll be challenging, but there's also the straightforward stuff of why won't they do the things that they keep telling us we have to do? Joe Biden went for a walk through a restaurant in D.C. without a mask on, and Saki Bomb herself decided that she was going to address this issue. They're just going to do what they always do, Clay. Some are more equal than others.
It's Orwellian indeed. We'll talk about that when we come back. Take some of your fun calls. Thanks for hanging with us. First 2 hours in the books. Let's roll into hour three. Next.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.